chapter 5, verses 1 to 3 and 9 to 14. And it can be found on page 373 of the Church Bible. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive of a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy.
Thanks, Grace. If you can't see the screen, which I'm sure is going to work when I press the button, if you'd like to do a shuffle, do by all means do that. It looks as though that one has gone. So if you can't see that one, do by all means have a shuffle. No, we don't need 2 screens. All is well. Naaman. We're looking for a few weeks at Elisha the prophet, but probably Naaman, the chap that he was responsible for healing from his leprosy, is probably more famous even than Elisha. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram, that's Syria. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because, interesting, through him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. A valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. But I put that verse on at the beginning, particularly just to note, through him, the Lord had given victory. Interesting, isn't it? There's this Syrian, not a Jew, but through him, the Lord had given victory. And this dreadful, dreadful disease of leprosy. Not here this morning, I don't think, but I don't know whether you realise that we have in our church membership here one of the world's experts on leprosy, Jean Watson, bless her, who never says a word that would give you any indication that she has been a world star. And take it from me, that's the word to use. She's given her whole life to work amongst lepers in different territories around the world, working for the leprosy mission. And she is known throughout the world. And even in retirement, she still popped out to China last year to do a little bit of work there. She is a most wonderful lady, but you'd hardly know because she is so quiet and sneaked in and sneaks out again. But ask somebody which one she is and ask her about leprosy. She really knows. There was 2 people in the leprosy mission, she and a doctor that the whole world recognised as experts. So, Naaman, and the slide that's in the bottom right-hand corner are some fingerprints, because throughout the whole of what I'm going to say in these next few minutes, God's fingerprints are so clearly there. Naaman, a mighty man, but even the poor people in Syria wouldn't swap with him. He had leprosy. His wife had a servant girl. She'd been abducted by a raiding party that went over to Israel, pinched her, brought her back again to Syria, and there she was working in the household of Naaman, working as his wife's servant. And she said, if only my master Naaman could meet up with this chap Elisha back in Israel. And we're going to develop that later. You know, if only he could be healed. Naaman, absolutely desperate, goes to the king, who's obviously a very good pal of his, said, look, this is what I've heard. Can I go over to Israel and see if I can be cured? King says, not only yes, you're very welcome to go, but I'll stack you up with gold, silver, changes of clothing, servants, the whole entourage. You can head off to Israel, and I'll give you a letter to the king of Israel saying, here is a mighty man, chief of my army. Please can you cure him of his leprosy? So off goes the entourage, get to the king of Israel, hand in the letter. King of Israel looks at the letter and said, just a minute, I can't cure anyone of leprosy. This is a trick. King of Syria has set me up. He sent this chap over to be cured. I can't cure him. And he's then going to say, ah, you're a failure. And he'll then probably start war against us. And so he was enraged, King of Israel, tore his clothes, was furious. And then we discover that Elisha heard about this. How he heard, I don't know. We'll look at that in a few minutes' time. Elisha heard that the king of Israel had had this letter and had gone into a rage about it all. So he goes to the king and says, well, I think we've survived, and says, send him to me. And so the entourage all head off down to Elisha, knock on his door. Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends his servants out to them and says, oh yes, go down to the River Jordan, dip yourself in it, dip under the water 7 times, and you'll be cured. Another rage. Naaman blows his top. But we in Syria have got mighty rivers. What, Jordan? That's not going to achieve anything. Why on earth should I have to go to the River Jordan? I'm not. And then his servants, and we're going to look at this in a moment, calm him down and say, go down to the Jordan. If Elisha had come out, laid his hands on you on the spot, leprosy, and you'd been cured, you'd rejoice. He's asked you to do something very simple, to go down to the River Jordan, dip yourself in it. Why won't you do it? He did. And that's the story of Naaman. But I just want to pull out from that story a number of things. Firstly, the whole concept of healing. Jesus said to his disciples, heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Who is it that gets healed? It's a massive conundrum, isn't it? We've prayed in this church for people to be healed, and it doesn't always happen. Why was Naaman picked out? A Syrian, not even a Jew. Luke says in the New Testament, there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman, the Syrian. How come? God's fingerprints, I see, as being all over this. Is it to do with the sins people have committed? That they're sick? As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Somebody must have sinned. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We have no answer to this question, who is healed? Just a few years back, a couple of mighty men, one in this country, one in America, the chap in this country, David Watson, a wonderful, wonderful man of God, went round universities, preached the gospel. Many people became Christians through David. A church in York that grew and grew and grew, mightily used. And at a very early age, he became ill. Everyone prayed or almost demanded of God, look, you've got it wrong here. This chap is a mighty man. He's got to be cured. And God said no. Why? I don't know. Nor does anyone know. We'd need to be God before we could answer that question. All we know is it happens. Exactly the same happened to a chap called John Wimber, who set up the Vineyard Church, which is now a mighty one around the world. Exactly the same. A mighty man of God. He's got to be healed. And he wasn't. He wasn't. We have no answer. We have no answer. God is the one who decides, and we're not God. And Simon, our vicar, when he was talking about this, very simply said wonderfully, I'd rather pray for somebody to be healed and find they weren't than miss the opportunity altogether. Let's pray. Let's bring to God the needs that we're aware of. Because mighty things happen. We've got numbers of people sitting here this morning who were at New Wine 10 days ago, the big conference, 12,000 people, was it, down in Shepton Mallet? And people there were healed. Crutches were thrown away. And people who couldn't walk did walk. People were healed. Why Naaman? There is no answer. Everyone isn't healed, that we know. But healing takes place. Jesus gave that instruction to his disciples. It's still there today. Let's pray for those who are in need. But let's say, ultimately, one of these wonderful verses in the Bible, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was about to come, crucifixion, humiliation, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Heal me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And that to me is the answer every time when we talk about healing. It's to say, Lord, please heal Fred, Sarah, Jim, but your will be done. If it's not your will, I accept that. Let's move on. The role of minor players and the fingerprints of God. A Jewish servant girl. Let's be clear about this. She's in Syria. She's a Jewish girl, a servant. But she had the courage to say to her mistress, and just think about it, if only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. A very, very bold thing for this Jewish servant girl to say to her mistress, look, if Naaman goes to Israel, there's a guy there that I think can heal him. A very minor player, a Jewish servant girl in Syria. And then Naaman's servants, when he blew his top and said, I'm not going to go into Jordan. We've got wonderful rivers in Syria. Why Jordan? Naaman's servants, very courageously, instead of saying to him, yes, master, quite right, let's go back to Syria and dip yourself in the rivers there. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Courageous of those servants, ordinary, insignificant people, minor players. And yet without them, one suspects this healing wouldn't have taken place. Naaman would have stormed off and gone back to the rivers of Syria and carried on with his leprosy. And then I couldn't resist one of my favourite little passages of minor players. Do you remember Saul? Sorry if you heard this before, but to me it's such a wonderful story. Saul struck blind on the road to Damascus. Saul, the destroyer, before he became Paul the worker, was going to destroy the Christians of Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he was struck down blind, led into Damascus, And in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. An incredibly brave thing. Saul had gone to kill the Christians. And this little chap Ananias, a minor player, we never heard anything more about him in the Bible, since or before. If he hadn't gone, who knows? Whether God had plan B, we don't know. But in theory, we would have lost most of the New Testament. The role of minor players. There's a lady I know quite well who's a leading member of her church and doing a great job. Her son was at boarding school, and one weekend the kids were given the three alternatives. Son wasn't keen on any of the alternatives, but decided that probably the easiest one of the three was to go with the Christian Union away for the night to some place. The chap who was speaking at that weekend was the chap who is now the Bishop of Liverpool, James Jones. This goes back a years before he became bishop. James Jones simply explained the good news of Jesus, explained the gospel story. Young James, son, heard it, was bowled over by it, and accepted Jesus and said, I'm going to be a Christian. Couldn't wait to get home and tell Madeline, his mum, and he repeated to her what James Jones had said to him. And she became a Christian. And today, she's a very leading player, preaching the gospel of Jesus. Her son has drifted away. The role of minor players. You see, Jesus uses minor players. Brothers and sisters, says Paul to the Corinthians, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I don't want to be rude, but I suspect that we have a church sitting here this morning of people that say, I'm a minor player. Count me out of this. Yeah, the vicar, that's different. But I'm a minor player. Let's learn from the role of minor players. It needs courage to seize the moment. The Jewish girl servant had the courage to act. Very simple, but she did. The servant of Naaman had the courage to act. Ananias had the courage to act. Not big deals. Very, very small deals. Mistress, if Naaman went to this Jewish prophet, he'd be healed. The servants, don't be silly, Naaman. Calm down. Go to Jordan. Give it a whirl. Ananias, fear and trepidation. They obeyed. They did the simple thing. And God uses the foolish, the unwise, the stupid, people like, I was going to say us, me, to do his work. Let's see ourselves as minor players who have a great role to play. Coincidences. The fingerprints of God everywhere. Bands of raiders from Syria had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served names. Coincidence? Coincidence. They happened to raid Israel, pinch this girl and probably a few others and take them back as servants. And look what a role she played. When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. How come Elisha was aware that the king of Israel had torn his robes and gone into a great rage? How come? Something must have been said by somebody. Oh, one of those wonderful coincidences. How come, as Jesus walked along the beach on Galilee, bumped into some fishermen? Beginning of the Christian church. How come that those guys happened to be there repairing their nets as Jesus went by? coincidence? How come that I was at a youth camp years ago, this sort of time of the year, and the leader of that camp was an accountant in London? I was in Merseyside. We got to know each other. 2 years later, his firm in London looking for a bright young accountant. He said, "Ah, I remember that chap, Lynn McCauley at camp. Let's write to him." Coincidence? It was a wonderful coincidence. It gave me a wonderful, wonderful life as I moved down and joined that great firm. And here I am today. Coincidence? It's the fingerprints of God. "We know," says Paul, "that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This verse is so often misquoted. We know all that in all things God works for good. It doesn't say that. It works for good for those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. Those who love God and are walking down the pathway that he's set out for them, all things work together for good. Coincidence? The fingerprint of God, I believe, is clearly there. And finally, buts. But Naaman had leprosy. But Paul says in one of his epistles, "I'm writing large letters." His eyesight was poor. But Lyndall Bywater, many of the ladies here today will remember her from a few months back speaking to the women's group, blind. Dear old Peter, such a temper that he hacked off somebody's ear, very quickly blew into a rage, denounced Jesus. We all have buts in our life. And Jesus, God, can work through those buts and use those buts. Naaman, Paul, Lyndall Bywater, Peter, wonderfully used by God. But there was a problem in their life. The fingerprint of God, I believe, for those who love him, those who are walking in the path he's laid down, the fingerprints are there. The fingerprints are there. It's a wonderful story, is Naaman. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you're there to protect us. You're there to guide us. And we pray that we may honour you as minor players. Father, help us not just to retreat, to leave it to others who are in leadership role, but to realise that there's opportunities there. Father, show us the opportunities and help us to be brave and to take them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.